Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Oh, hello. It is Monday morning. At least that's when I'm recording it, Monday morning. Had a great weekend. I hope everybody had a great weekend. Very relaxing. Very hot here in Georgia. Very hot. Very hot under that heat dome that's covering the nation. Yes, yesterday was Sunday, and I spent a good deal of that time working on the audiobook that I'm doing. My cousin's book, Selfies, by author Scott A. Young. And I'm enjoying it because I didn't read it first, right? So I just, at first I tried to do everything at once, do all the narration and all the characters, and that was kind of a daunting task because you're constantly changing voices and it's hard on you. So right now I'm working on the narration part, you know what I'm talking about. So I've been working on that, and I'm over halfway through now. And as soon as I get done, then comes the daunting task of going through and putting a marker wherever there's supposed to be dialogue and also editing, because I just keep going. If I screw up, I start over again. You know what I mean? I don't just sit there and, oh gosh, and edit as I go. You just keep going. And that's why I think that if you're a professional audiobook narrator, that whoever hires you, you go into the studio and they have an engineer running it and they, you know, will tell you, okay, do it again, or a director or a producer. They have a staff, and I'm kind of doing everything myself, and, I'm guilty. I have this imposter syndrome thing going on, you know, like a lot of people have. I definitely have it, and let me see. Am I recording? Yeah, good, I'm recording. And I do have that, you know. I think, oh, God, I suck. But I'm just pushing through all of that. And enjoying the book. And it's really good. There's a lot of twists and turns. I'm getting mad at things, you know, like when you read a book and the character that you like, you get pissed when bad things happen to them. And that's how I know I am enjoying it. And if I had just discovered it someplace, I would have been happy about that because I like it. And So that's what's cool. That's what's going on. Hung out with Gil over the weekend. Cook some dinner. I really like cooking. That's one thing I like about the weekend is I get to cook. And what did I make? Saturday night we had steaks. I bought pork chops. Bought these nice pork chops on sale at Publix. And I was going to marinate them in this this Greek marinade and then make this cool salad with feta cheese and stuff. And I poured the marinade on and I looked at the bottle and they had expired, and the marinade had expired in 2022. And I'm very, like, if it goes past one day on the label, I pitch it, especially if it's something like that. But I probably could have used it. I don't know. I don't want a foodborne illness. I've had those before. Definitely meat or anything like that I'll throw away. Milk, you can tell by the smell. If it's a couple days old, you know what? If it doesn't smell bad, go ahead and use it. Eggs. I think eggs, it's kind of an arbitrary number. As long as they're in the refrigerator and you're not too far away, you can eat them. But anyway, let's see. And then last night, paschetti, or noodles, as Gilbert likes to call them. I watched TV, got caught up with the boys. We'll talk about that on Radio Labyrinth. really injecting the social issues this season. It's always been like that, but it was never heavy-handed, I don't think. I think that it was all tongue-in-cheek. And to me, there are no coincidences, right? So as you're watching this, the presidential campaign is heating up along with the weather. You got two old farts that are the main candidates for Republicans. You know, you got Donald Trump running again, and of course, President Biden running for re-election. Just geezers, old baby boomers, whatever you want to call them, Gen X. Closest Gen X is going to get to the White House is the current vice president because she's a Gen Xer, I guess, in her 50s. And unless something happens and she becomes president before the election, I don't think she'll ever live in the White House. But anyway, that the big debate this week. That's the thing, the big debate this week. And anyway, getting back to the boys, I get that there's a lot to play with the QAnon conspiracies and the Hollywood is nothing but a bunch of groomers and traffickers and all that nonsense that you hear about if you don't hear about it if you're not looking, right? I had a friend of me the other day said it was funny that he knows people who are worried constantly about crime because they just do nothing but consume media. And he's right. I consume media and, I get mad for no reason because I'm looking at this shit, the doom scrolling stuff. But if you weren't paying attention, you wouldn't even know it. You'd just go about your day. You'd go to the store, you'd go to work, you'd get coffee, you hang out with your friends, you play with your kids, you take your kids to school, you take them to their activities that they do, and you wouldn't really be paying attention. You just maybe every once in a while watch the local news. It's not like you're reading the newspaper anymore. Nobody reads the newspaper anymore. And the newspapers that still exist, are you going to their website and looking at their website and reading all the stories? No, nobody does that. You get your news as you get your news. You go to Instagram, maybe there's something there. Twitter, X, whatever. That's where you're going to go. I don't really know. Where do people get their news? I work in a news environment, so I'm bombarded with it all day long. Local, national, international. And, if you pay attention to it as much as I do, you'd think that the world is coming to an end. But anyway, it is the presidential election. The debate is this week between Geezer 1 and Geezer 2. Really looking forward to that. They're both going to be all drugged up with the adrenochrome. The adrenochrome. And just tiptoeing lightly, one of the issues that I don't really care about at all, and I don't sympathize with either of the sides of the argument. I don't care at all. And, that's fine. You don't have to care. As Rush says Free Will, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice, right? Third option, I don't know. A, B, you don't want either. Then X, I suppose. But they really, really wedged the abortion issue into the boys. And I don't know. I hope it doesn't continue to be. Because the story is great. I love all the characters. I really love this new character they have, Sage, whatever her name is. She's really cool. And she's a good actress from Atlanta. But I don't want all that shit. I find things that don't have any of that in it to watch. Things that don't have any of that messaging bullshit, and it's like they really just, I don't know, they just pulled out the guns, loaded them up with everything, and they're just firing them at you. It makes me want to just read the comic book, get all the issues, get the omnibuses, read that, and say, hey, you did really well for 3 seasons. I'm not really interested in this anymore. I mean, The Acolyte, I knew that The Acolyte, the Disney Plus Star Wars show, I knew that was going to be nothing but messaging with some, lightsabers and force use and, spaceships and Jedis and all that shit. I don't care at all about any of that anymore. And I haven't, I gave Obi-Wan a chance. I watched it all. It was terrible. Dumb. And I don't want to, you know, beat a dead horse here. And the Boba Fett show, which, you know, was really just a sneaky way of getting Mandalorian back. Mandalorian is the coolest thing I think they've done on television. I never watched any of the animated shows, really. But Rebels, the ones that I did watch, was a good show. But I don't really care. I don't care. You know, I've had enough Star Wars for a lifetime. And this Acolyte show is just, there's a big sign on it saying, this isn't for you. And I don't know why anybody, I don't know, my age would find it entertaining. Because it's not about that universe. It's about, fuck you. But then again, it might not be. It's all the marketing. Everything is marketing. Everything is advertising. Everything that, you know, suppose, because I don't get mad, but suppose you're looking at X or some site and you're reading about all these people who hate the new Star Wars because there's a bunch of lesbian witches in it or something. I don't know. And that goes out there. And then you see the primary actors in the show, or you see the producers or the showrunners, the people that work for Disney, like that wackadoo that used to work for Weinstein. I'm not going to take the time to look up her name. But, you know, everybody fits a role, right? And then they come out and they say, well, we don't want the old fans of Star Wars to feel comfortable. This isn't for them. We want to make old white guys uncomfortable because we're taking the Force. The Force is female. That's all boring. I don't care about it at all. You know, if that were true, but the story and the writing were good, it wouldn't matter. But in this case, that's not the case, right? Universally despised. And I know there are people that like it. I know that there are people who like it. But it's getting less rating. It's getting less positive reviews than the 1978 holiday special, which is garbage, but nostalgically fun. And the reason that a lot of people look back at it familiar with you know, good feelings is because of that Boba Fett cartoon, which was the main reason I wanted to watch it. I knew who B. Arthur was, and I knew Art Carney. Didn't know Diane Carroll at the time, but I knew who they were because I watched Carol Burnett and I watched Maude. So anyway, doesn't matter. But anyway, they get on there, and then there's the negative marketing and the hater marketing, and everybody is glomming on and gaslighting and making money and getting clicks and views and blah, blah, blah. None of that shit matters. Just not watching it. Don't care. Going to finish The Boys because The Boys is an entertaining show. The Homelander scenes from this episode 4 were amazing, especially when he made the guy beat off. And, of course, that guy's old like me. You imagine standing in a room knowing that you're going to get lasered. Anyway, we'll talk about it more in Radio Labyrinth. One thing I watched on Friday night was an episode, actually the two-hour pilot for a movie that I haven't watched in, well, since it debuted. So 1977 was a long time ago, 47 years ago. Let's see if it works here.
Where's the money, Monahan? Where's the 5,000 big ones?
There must have been somebody else in the car.
Wrong, Monahan, wrong. It was a lone wolf.
But a crazy lone wolf.
Look at him, driving right into a brick wall. Can you explain all this to me, please?
I don't know why the other three did the same thing. I think you're right, Captain.
Right? Right? Right what?
Oh, they're crazy. I mean, those were all respectable people, not some junky hoods. A professor who steals a payroll? Yeah, they don't make crooks like they used to.
They don't make crooks like they used to. That is a scene from The Amazing Spider-Man, 1977. Actually, it was just called Spider-Man, I guess. The series was called The Amazing Spider-Man. It's the first live-action production of Spider-Man. And somebody, some gentle, wonderful soul, put the entire thing on YouTube. Which is, you know, how I like to consume media. It's right there in your hand, or you could pause it and go watch it on TV. It came out in 1977. I remember watching it. It starred Nicholas Hammond as Peter Parker. The actor that you heard, there's two actors in that scene I just played, but the first actor you heard was Michael Pataki. I don't know if you know who that is. Michael Pataki, if you're old enough, you've seen him in a ton of stuff. Most notably that, where he played the police captain or whatever. And before we dive a little bit into The Amazing Spider-Man, I'm going to tell you who this guy played. He played Governor Karnes in the Star Trek The Next Generation episode, Too Short a Season. And prior to that, so he's in The Next Generation, but you go back to the 60s, and he was Korax, the Klingon, who provoked the bar fight in the Trouble with Tribbles episode of Star Trek. So big time there. He was also in an episode, a classic episode of Happy Days from season 4. He was Myron Count Malachi, one half of the Malachi brothers, who did the Malachi Crunch, Demolition Derby. That was a famous episode arc where Fonzie and Pinky Tuscadero were getting together, and they had this big Demolition Derby, and she was in a pink car, I guess, and the Malachis did the Malachi Crunch. But I like that brusque, that 1970s police captain. Wow, these are blah, 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 blah. So that was kind of cool. And the reason I watched it is because these shows from the 70s, these crime procedurals, they have a feel to them, right? They have a feel to them. They're very slow-paced. Obviously, they're working with limited budgets, but at the time, they had these really cool special effects to make Spider-Man look like he was climbing up a wall and to shoot out the web and everything. And they were pretty true to the origin, except he wasn't in high school or he was working on his doctorate or whatever. But he got bit by the spider and he turns into Spider-Man. Nicholas Hammond is an interesting cat. He played Spider-Man. He's also Friedrich von Trapp in the Sound of Music film. So he was already famous when he became Peter Parker. The last thing I think I saw him in, because he's been just a character actor over the years, he moved to Australia. He played the director in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that really cool, well, Tarantino's last film, most recent film, I guess. He played, what's the name of the director? I got to look it up. But he was really good in that scene with DiCaprio, where DiCaprio's, you know, he wants him to be like a spaghetti western type of cowboy instead of, you know, the 50s TV guy. He played Sam Wanamaker, who was a real director. And that was cool. Some other people, you had David White as J. Jonah Jameson, you know, the editor of the Daily Bugle. David White is best known as Larry Tate from Bewitched. And he was only in the pilot because they had a different actor come in to play Jameson in the series. And again, they only had 13 episodes of this show, and they spaced it out over, I think, 2 or 3 years. Did really well with kids, of course, but did not do well with adults. Duh. You think boomers maybe might have watched it, but certainly not. That prime demo in the 70s was World War II Greatest Generation type of people. Let's see. The other person I recognized, was Lisa Eilbacher. Lisa Eilbacher is a retired actress. But I knew the voice and she was younger, but I couldn't quite pinpoint it. 7 years later, she would play Jenny in, Beverly Hills Cop. She was the friend working for Victor Maitland, when Axel Foley, Eddie Murphy, went out to California to find out who killed his buddy. And, of course, it was Mike Ehrmantraut who killed his buddy. He popped his little buddy back there in Detroit. How's that spot on your head? Mike Ehrmantraut. Well, it wasn't really Mike Ehrmantraut, but it was that actor. Mike Ehrmantraut was in Beverly Hills Cop, and he's a good actor. I'm telling you right now, Walter, you better figure it out. Because if I got to do what I got to do, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Well, anyway, yeah, she was really good in it, man. It was a very well-done 2-hour soft pilot for Spider-Man. And I highly recommend it. You can find it on YouTube. You can. It's great. I'm trying to find the cast here. Hang on a second. Gosh darn it.
Gosh darn it.
Oh, yeah, Jonathan Banks was Zach. That was the name. Zach.
I'm Zach. And I'm going to pop your little buddy. I'm going to pop your little buddy.
Speaking of Beverly Hills Cop, can't wait for the new one to come out. That'll be cool, right? James Russo was Mikey Tandino, the friend of Jenny's and Axel's who got popped. So check it out, Spider-Man fans.
What's one move in bed that makes a man go crazy every time?
Oh, you gotta give him that huck, too, and spit on that thing.
Yeah, okay, thanks a lot. That is the most viral thing in the country right now. Hawk Tua. I see it everywhere. Well, I saw it everywhere. And at first I didn't get it or didn't care. And I still don't care. I really, really don't care all that much. You know what I'm saying? Very much don't care all that much. But one of the things that really popped into my mind as soon as I heard it, Hawk Tua, well, I'm going to tell you what I thought. Iron Sheik. And I'm not the only one who thought that because it popped up everywhere. You know, Hawk Tua, America, Iran, number one, America, Hawk Tua.
Russia, number one, Iran, number one, USA, Hawk Tua.
You know what?
Hawk Tua. You've got to spit on that thing, jabroni. Bubba,
spit on that thing, Bubba. Who knows? That probably happened quite a bit in wrestling, to be honest. Anyway, that's your latest viral sensation creeping across the nation. Very interesting how these things just happen. And now, you got to wonder, now, this lady was being interviewed, young woman was being interviewed for something, and immediately goes viral. So what happens? Does the guy who did the interview get all the money for it? Is there money for it? Does she get anything for it? Does she get fame and notoriety? Who knows? I guess you'd have to look into it. But she's famous. She's worldwide famous now. And I don't know her name. I'm not going to look it up. I don't really care. But she is worldwide. Everybody's making memes. Everybody's posting on Reddit. It's been incorporated into everything. Got to give it that hak to. And so I thought, why not make a song? Let's see, I tried it with a Tammy Wynette type of thing on Suno.com where you can write lyrics and that'll make a song based on your prompts. So I did that. And it was kind of funny, but as usual, I'm writing these things and there's misspelling. So the song fucked up. And then I thought, why not try to make it like Shania Twain or at least the 90s type of pop country. So I did it and I came up with a name for this, performer. Her name is Alana Headley, and the name is of the song is Hawk Tua. There's a fake album cover, which is the album art here that I use. So enjoy. Here it is.
When your man gets home from working all day, it's time to hide your wants and wishes away. Some of that.
Woman and know.
What do you think of that? I like it when this song, I mean, it's long, I guess, but it was fun to write. And of course, it's tongue in cheek. The reason that I wrote the lyrics the way I did was originally for the Tammy Wynette version, which is sort of a play on Stand By Your Man. Like, no matter what, he could be a drunk, abusive piece of shit, but you got to stand by your man. You got to stand by your man, baby. Different times. Nowadays, you can stand by whomever. But at the end of the song, Alana kind of gets her redemption with the lyrics. You're going to have to pay attention. You have to pay real close attention. And if you can't hear it, I'll post the other one just to give a little context. All right, I got to get ready for work. I have to go work on the book some more. Then what else do I got to do? Oh, yeah, radio show today. And we'll be back Monday. Oh shit, I wanted to say this. A good friend of mine won tickets to see Bert Kreischer's Fully Loaded show up in Buffalo, New York, and he had a funny review. I said, who else was there? And he said, a bunch of anime characters, and it made me laugh. This friend of mine, Mark, I can't imagine him going to a comedy show. Although I think the only time he and I went to a comedy show together was a classic one. It was at the Roxy in Buckhead, which is now the Buckhead Theater. But back then it was the Roxy. And Comedy Central was doing a tour promoting South Park and Dirty Work. And, of course, the stars of Dirty Work were Norm Macdonald and Artie Lang. At the time, I did not like Artie Lang. I thought Artie Lang was a John Belushi stand-in for Mad TV. Didn't find him to be particularly funny on Mad TV. And I think he was kind of trash, and the stand-up was boring, so I kept going outside and smoking cigarettes. But then I came back in drunk as fuck and, you know, was heckling Norm, not in a bad way, but just quoting SNL, and he made fun of me, and I realized, shut up and enjoy the show, which I did. But anyway, Mark's review of seeing the shirtless Bert Kreischer in Buffalo, New York, I was kind of thinking that it was cool that Tony Hinchcliffe was there. So that's what I would have been excited for, as opposed to shirtless, repetitive stories and such. Ha! All right, Radio Labyrinth every Saturday on YouTube. Go there, find it, subscribe, like, follow. And you can become a Patreon member of that show if you're interested by going to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. All the benefits are there. Probably going to have to update those soon. And if you're if you're looking for a cameo for a birthday or a special occasion, you can hire me to do that. Just go to cameo.com. I think it's Tim Andrews ATL. I don't know. You'll find it. And I'll put it in the show notes if you're so interested. And I'll do a voice, or I'll just be me, and we'll knock it out for you. I got one to do as soon as I'm done here. I got to shave and everything because I got to put a filter on my face. So that's Trambles this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I really do. I don't know. I like doing it. It's fun. It's fun. And right now, I'm going through. Oh, here we go. There we go. There we are. No editing. We're having a good time. Last week we were in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I like it there. We go out to eat. They don't have a Western Sizzlin', but, you know, they got a McDonald's. And then I found a place where I got a pastrami sandwich, a pastrami Reuben. They made that for me. And we're having a good time. Hannah is here. and we're winding down Trambles, which I'm doing a Dusty Slay voice. I think I'm getting it down. I think I'll have it by the time he's really, really famous, has a sitcom or a reality show. All right, goodbye.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.